This oral history about the African-American community in Cocoa, Florida, with Mayor Michael C. Blake, was conducted by Tracy Moore and recorded by John White for the Florida Historical Society on Monday, June 27, 2022.
My name is Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Cavis. Do y'all want my middle name?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, C-A-V-I-S. I normally just go by Michael C., but my Blake, B-L-A-K-E.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. All right, let's get started then.
Okay.
All right, so your political title?
Mayor Michael Blake from the great city of Cocoa. This is my third term as mayor. Having a wonderful time as always. Glad to represent the citizens for the great city of Cocoa.
Great. What are your earliest memories of Cocoa and growing up in Cocoa?
Wow. Many fond memories. Born and reared right here in Cocoa, Florida, I'm happy to say. I recall dirt roads. I recall kerosene heaters, citrus. I recall Mrs. Ager's grocery store at that time in the community of Diamond Square. We would quite frequently visit her grocery store. Also, there was a mulberry tree in the back. A lot of fond memories with the senior citizens of Cocoa. Pentecostal churches, holy churches, Methodist churches, missionary Baptist churches, also St. Mary's Catholic Church as well, Catholic school. So I have fond memories of Cocoa.
What about these memories that you think may have shaped your life?
Well, there's a lot of places I can start. First right there, let's say the immediate family in the community where I was born, Cocoa, Florida, on Pomola Street. A lot of the senior citizens there, or just citizens of there, that when it talks about it takes a village to raise that child, I'm a product of that. I recall the ditches and dirt roads right there on Pomola Street, and also Mandarin, or now what we call affectionately Barbara Jenkins Street. Just the community pitching in as a whole. Everyone being responsible, everyone knew each other. Mannerisms, yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir. You wanted to maintain that level of integrity because that's what it was all about.
Now, as you grew up in a family that was very well known in the community. The Blakes, from your father to your grandfather. Give me a little idea of how it felt growing up in a household of gentlemen that you grew up in.
Well, challenging because the bar was held, so, you know, at a very extreme top level. My grandfather, Virgil Blake, granddad of Virgil Blake, we call him a pap. Some would call him Deacon Blake, was one of the first right here in the city of Cocoa to be on the first African-American to be on the PNZ board, Planning and Zoning Board. My father, Richard Blake, our first African-American elected official in the city of Rockledge. I think he was the second or third in Brevard County, period. So that level of expectation was great. And quite naturally, you want to be independent and have your own challenges and be your own individual person. But I'm thankful that I had a family that loves me. I'm thankful for a family that took care of me. And one of the things I learned as an early childhood years that by being country folks in the city of Cocoa, prominent country folks, was that we have to open up our circle to include everyone. Because everyone would come to your house, you know, even for just a bowl of sugar, a cup of sugar, milk, flour. So we were community oriented. And you know that you couldn't do any wrong because they would tell. So that's one of the good things about, you know, it kept you on the straight and narrow. So I'm proud of that, I really am. They set the bar extremely high. But that's the beautiful thing about it.
Now, your grandfather was the, is the street named after your grandfather that you currently live on?
Yes, ma'am. I currently live in their house, Virgil and Bertha Blake. Both of my grandparents on my father's side are from Georgia. One from Savannah, Georgia, Virgil, and Bertha was from Statesboro. Those two areas abutted one another. My grandfather married my grandmother December 29th, a billion years ago. And I'm happy to say they were married for 75 years. I recall vividly one Christmas dinner that talked about how they eloped, how my grandfather drove his two mules across the river to go get my grandmother and marry my grandmother. So that it goes way back into those old clay roads of Georgia. And here we are today, and I'm riding off their shirt tail, coat tail, ponytail, dress tail, and other great founders of the great city of Cocoa as well. So I attribute my success to them, who's been very positive impact and productive part of my life, I would say it that way.
Now, the museum that we are currently doing this particular oral history about is on the street. And what is it that you know about the school that existed during the early days? What has been handed down to you as history about the school?
My father attended that school where Leon and Jewel Collins Museum is named. That was the school for African Americans during that time of segregation. They attended that school. It was Cocoa. I don't want to mess up the name, but it was designated for African Americans. Then, after a number of years, they constructed Monroe High School, I think in 1946. It was in the 40s, mid-40s. I don't want to quote the exact year, so that they would continue on for education, higher education. My Aunt Elise would have to go out of town to Orlando. I'm trying to think, I want to say Hungerford High, but that's not the name of it. But anyway, a lot of the African Americans during the early parts of Cocoa would have to go to school in Melbourne, Florida. So they would bus daily to Melbourne, if I recall it correctly. I know my dad's going to kill me, but he graduated in the 50s. I'm not going to tell you the exact year because he may kick me out the wheel. So, but yes, ma'am.
So this school is very important to the community. This museum is very important to the community. What do you see or hope that this museum will bring into the community of the importance of it?
There's a lot of knowledge, historical landmark, I would like to say. Sharing the idea of Stone Street, Blake Street, Jenkins Street, Jones Street, and also the museum is on Blake Street. And it's uniquely strange how they all intersect, but there's a focal point with the museum in itself. So everyone from the community can identify. Barbara Jenkins was known for her health, also like a CPA at that time, a notary. Mrs. Jones was known for education, early childhood education. Mr. Rudy Stone and his family, Richard Stone, they were known for the funeral business, but also entrepreneurship. And the list goes on and on. Every individual made major contributions, from Citrus to the first working here in the city of Cocoa, the Raxton, Betty Ann Raxton, Mrs. Sammy Robbins, excuse me, the first, Mrs. Florida. A lot of those historical individuals also resided in the community of the African-American community, made major contributions. It went beyond east of US 1. It went to the riverfront because my grandfather helped construct what we call the Porsche House many years ago during its actual construction.
So this is sort of the nucleus at this point then of what you feel is an element that the community needs to know about. The leaders during that time period, you've pretty much named those. Were there some just ordinary people who just made sure that community stayed vibrant?
Oh, absolutely. Well-known families, African-American families, the Wynns, the Kimbrels, the Davises, the Weavers, they were backbones of America here in town. If you went west, you had another set, a group of African-Americans we called the Woods, Lakeview, Catalina Drive. So you had a combination of both the west versus the east, town versus the woods, as we would affectionately call it through development. As you all know, Monroe High School played a pivotal part in the community because it was the focal point. All your church events took place there. All your educational events took place there. Town meetings would take place there. When the basketball team or the football team would go out of town, people would stand on the corner and wait to see what the results were from the various sports activities. They were known for agriculturally as well. They were also known for their arts and crafts. We had a lot of major individuals ranging from Mr. Roosevelt Williams to also Mr. Campbell Fontaine Bell. Well, I, give me a minute, I'm gonna tell you his actual name, but it rhymed. But Monroe High School in Cocoa, I'm talking fast because I'm just trying to spit all the information out. But the most important thing, it was a vital point in Cocoa. If you wanted to know what was going on in the community, it all started at the school. And that was the most knowledgeable place for you to start at the school.
The museum itself is of course, pointing out Jewel and Leon Collins. Can you share with me your memories or factual things that you know about them as a couple or them as individuals?
Yes, they were part of my second version of the dynamic duo. Mr. Leon Collins, Councilman Leon Collins, broke many barriers, as well as Deputy Mayor Jewel Collins. Mr. Leon Collins was the first African-American to win in the city of Cocoa election for an African-American. District 55, Double Nichols. I recall his victory several times. My uncle was instrumental in his campaign, as well as Mrs. Collins was instrumental in my father's campaign. The beautiful thing about it, that all the families work together. Mr. Leon Collins, his father is Copy Collins, and his mother was Alma, well, let me make sure I get it right, Collins. Mr. Copy Collins was from Ogallala, Florida, if I recall correctly, and Mrs. Collins was from Kentucky. And they within themselves broke a lot of barriers just that way. The Collins and the Blakes and a host of other families, a lot of people thought we were all related. In essence, we are. Many years ago when my grandfather picked citrus, that's what we brought us to Cocoa, actually Bonaventure, then to Cocoa. My grandfather injured his back, broke his back, fell off the back of the truck. Mr. Collins, Mr. Copy Collins, worked at the milk factory. And every day after work, he would bring milk to my family's home, my grandparents' home, to help with the kids. Because my grandparents had 10 children. They took the Bible at hand, they went forth and multiplied. And it was just a unique thing how they all interact, that each one teach one, each one help one. So it made it a community event. And that's the reason why I respect the Collins to the fullest. Getting back to Mr. Leon Collins, he also worked at Pan Am at Kennedy Space Center. Many times he broke that barrier along with other siblings in his family too as well, breaking down barriers, first working at the space industry, but also here in the city of Cocoa. Jewel was from Georgia, as well as Mr. Collins, like I said, moved from his father and mother moved here from Ogallala, Florida. The thing that I respect about them most as well is that they were community oriented. They helped everyone in their political awareness, to their community awareness, and their religious beliefs awareness. So it takes a whole entire community to make it happen.
What do you think would be the most important, benefit of having this type of museum in the community?
Preservation of history. If we can look at the word history, H-I-S, his, then T-O-R-Y, his story, we're gonna connect it together. Everyone should be able to identify, to protect and preserve their history, because we all matter. Even though we come from different tribes, we belong to one race, that's the human race, we're all God's children. 100 years from now, they can go back and retrieve the information that's there in that historical building, that they're named after Mr. Leon Collins and Mrs. Jewel Collins. They played a very pivotal point in the overall success of Cocoa. So that is the reason why I acknowledge them. They're just like a spoke in the wheel. that each part has its own intricate design to make the overall success of the wheel. So I salute all citizens on both sides of the track, but especially where I grew up at in the African-American community. And eventually we broke many barriers, and now we're together as a wholesome community. Because now in Diamond Square area, I love the diversity. I mean, because there again, the greater our diversity, the more we reflect the true world. There again, we still and will always be all are God's children. And it's important that we understand that. And once we do, I think the overall world will be a successful place.
Now, as this museum is a focal point for the community, how do you see it fitting into the, I mean, you're a mayor and you've done some other congressional things that hopes and dreams. How do you see COCO fitting into the history of Florida? How do you see this, you know, as a spoke in the wheel, as you say, for the history of Florida?
COCO is centrally located in Brevard County. All civil rights started right here in the city of COCO. I respect the Moores and Mims in Titusville. I respect the rights and so forth in Melbourne. But all civil rights started right here in the city of COCO. First African-American mayor in Brevard County, right here in COCO. The city of COCO, right here in COCO. 3/5 of the board, right here in COCO. And the beautiful thing about it is that everyone can look here, and I personally feel that we've established a blueprint. We've constructed something that you can take and run with, because many other cities wanted a single member district in which we incorporated here in the city of COCO, because everyone should have a seat at the table. And if you don't have a seat at the table, then bring a lawn chair and sit at the table. And that's the beautiful thing about diversity. And the thing is that we can all get along if we just sit down and talk to one another and not at one another. And when you open up your heart and do what's best for our citizens, the citizens of our city, because I only have two simple rules. Rule number one, citizens come first. Rule number two, go back to rule number one, citizens come first. So when we do that and follow that procedure, and like I said, we have a blueprint that could be shared throughout the whole great United States right here, even with the city of COCO. A lot of great things take place here from citrus to the space industry to local businesses and international businesses right here in our fine city of COCO. And for those that thought it would never happen, here we are in living color.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to see if I missed anything.
Take your time, ma'am. Take your time, take your time.
But I did ask you most of the questions that are here.
Can we, in answer to her, please, but revisit your grandparents?
Yes.
So what were they best known for, and why and when was the street named after?
True.
Ooh, okay. Let me get my facts together. I think it was in 89. Okay. Okay. Yes, ma'am. I'm just trying to remember. Okay. both of my grandparents were Pentecostal, holiness. We go to church one time on Sunday, all day Sunday. And the thing that I'm loving about that is that they paid a price from Georgia. My grandfather came to Bonaventure first. He married my grandmother. My grandmother had a first of 10 children in Georgia, Clyde Blake, the first of 10. A year later, when Clyde was born, my grandfather sent for my grandmother to come to COCO, Florida, or Bonaventure, Florida. The Blakes are known for just being everyday common people, salt of the earth people. You know, your work and your word is your bond. They tell you, biblically speaking, you're worth the sweat off your brow. If you do an honest day's work, honest day's living, people will respect you. There's no shortcuts in life. Both my parents and grandparents on both sides of my family tree, I'm happy to say that they believe in hard work pays off. My mother's side of the family was Dr. Richard V. Moore, president at Bethune-Cookman University for 20-plus years. So I got a combination of both from an educational perspective, but also salt of the earth people. And when you combine that together, you just get everyday common people, which we all are. And people would come to my grandparents' house from ranging from rental property to what's going on in the community to what's happening educationally throughout the city of Cocoa and Brevard County. What inspired my grandfather was to join the PNZ board was that he purchased some land many, many years ago along the I-95 corridor, and he owned that land. And the federal government came to him and asked him about the land, but he wasn't knowledgeable at that time that they were going to use his acreage as part of the I-95 corridor. So there was an opportunity for him to make a large economical gain, but it taught him that you have to be involved in the overall political business of it so you can make a equitable economic gain. And knowledge is power. And that's what we all of the entire community were acknowledged for. Knowledge is power. To whom much is given, much is required.
In regards to when your street was named after your grandfather, how did that make you feel?
Wow, I was 29 at the time, 1989. Cocoa High School, my father was the principal at Cocoa High School. John, I'm trying to think of his, give me a few minutes, I'll come back to his name. He was the mayor of Cocoa at that time. I want to say John Young, but that's not his name. Give me a minute and I'll come back. But we met at the corner, at the intersection of Diamond Square, which is Stone Street and Blake Street, traditionally Magnolia Street and Avocado Street. One street was a plant or a flower, and the other street was a fruit. And so we're saying we all lived in this community. Why not make it where we can recognize individuals of the community to acknowledge their performance and their productivity to make our city and community a better place to live? And I'm happy to say one of the longest streets in the city of Cocoa is Rosa L. Jones, who is near and dear to my heart. I recall the day we named the street after her. But prior to naming the street, I went and talked to her about it. And when I informed her, Mrs. Rosa Jones had a sweet spirit about herself. I had goosebumps. It was, I know that the sacred spirit was there because I started, joyful tears came to my eyes. And Miss Rosa Jones, and I would love this lady, she had a sweet, tender voice and would sing a song at her piano, and she would say, Blake, 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 Blake. And I attended her kindergarten. And the beautiful thing, I think all the Blakes, once we moved from Bonaventure to Cocoa, attended Mrs. Rosa L. Jones School. And here we are, mayors, councilmen, on both sides of the track, both Cocoa and Rockledge. So you really do not know the power that will come out of old small shanty room. Never count them out, never. Because any knucklehead can count the number of seeds in the apple, but can you count the number of apples will come from that one seed? And that's the beautiful thing I'm loving about this great city called Cocoa. I'm a product of those seeds.
Okay, we're talking about the street being named at this point.
Yes, ma'am, good question. At the focal point of intersection of Stone Street and Blake Street, Blake Street and Stone Street, we had Mayor John Woods and his staff and council members there. We had the Cocoa High School band there playing the music. We had everyone from the community there, as we say affectionately, la-di-da-di and everybody. We had our face in the place with the human race. It was a great spirited day. And the reason why is because, again, we broke barriers. We acknowledging some of our own homegrown taking place in the city of Cocoa that will last as long as this world spins on its axis. And that's the beautiful thing about the Leon and Jewel Collins Museum is that we can protect and preserve history, how each and everyone plays an important part. And that day it was sunny, and we had the cheerleaders there and the majorettes there, and it was a fun-filled day for the great city of Cocoa. And Mayor Woods, John Woods, did a phenomenal job, along with the council members as well. And they set up on the platform, and I'm standing out there in the audience, and I had all my aunts, uncles, and even my offspring was present at the time. And I just, you know, you breathe slowly because you want to embrace it all. You want to feel the breeze and understanding the meaning behind this, because you never know the dues that people paid in order for you to reach some of the pinnacle points in your life, because it all matters.
Why is it important for younger generations to remember the history of this community?
Superb question. It's a two-folded question. The first portion of that question is, history has a tendency to repeat itself. So when you see something that has taken place previously, you want to protect and preserve that, because you may have to relive it again. And it's important that you see where you once come from, the actual location of this community and what the community produced, lest we forget. So that is the reason why we must protect and preserve our history, because it's done universal. And everyone should be a part of, again, of the American dream, because we too are a part of American history. Every community plays its part. And I'm a firm believer, proper preparation produces positive productivity, and that is the community. And the children should be able to say, I too am a part of that building block. And everyone should add one additional building block on top of the original foundation. And that is the reason why we stand firm and stand strong in the city of Cocoa. And we will always protect the community and the Leon and Jewel Collins Museum.
Michael C. Blake had more to add about the name of the Rosenwald School in Cocoa.
As you all know, originally it was for, like, you know, K through 8 or 9 before they built Monroe High School. And once you graduated from the elementary portion of it, then they would go to high school, either, I think, to Stone Middle School, or excuse me, Stone High School, until they built Monroe High School, named after Mrs. Monroe. I think she was an educator, too, as well. So after that, we changed the name to Harry T. Moore Center and Harriet V. Moore Center. Then the funding stopped for the building. It was community oriented, and then I guess through change, the funding ceased. But the citizens came together collectively and renovated Harry T. Moore Center into what we now affectionately call Mr. or Councilman Leon Collins and Deputy Mayor Jewel Collins Museum. And the preservation, again, of history, it has a story to tell, and everyone should have a story to tell. And Mr. Campbell at Monroe High School, that's who the person I know we're rolling, was a part of this agricultural of protecting the community as well. The most important thing that I would like to say is this: if we don't invest in ourselves as human beings, no one else will. So charity starts at home first. So if we have our community in which our home is located at, then we too, even though we come from many different demographics, we're still a part of one community, and that's we, the people. So that's why it's imperative that we continue to show and display the importance of the history of Cocoa, and especially right there on Blake Avenue, Stone Avenue, Jenkins Avenue, Jones Avenue, et cetera, et cetera. So we will always stand to protect the history of Cocoa.
One of the things I do know that this museum can serve as well is African American history throughout the state of Florida. I know that the history in Cocoa is very important, but I do know that there are other elements of history. We all one big family, as you say. There are other historians, events that could take place in this museum, that could be displayed in this museum. How do you feel about that?
Being diversified places you in a unique category, a category by yourself, because it takes all individuals to make it unique. And through this historical landmark, you can clearly see as our world changes, so will the surface of this community change. But it shows you we can go through different phases of life, but we're still in the big scheme of things. And we are all important to the overall success of the community. That's why we love to say lotty-dotty and everybody.
So we've talked a lot about the past and the things that, you know, that have been the building blocks of COCO. How do you see COCO in the future and its health overall?
We're at the tip of the iceberg overall, if I may say, because a lot of events are taking place. It's imperative, especially in the north area of COCO, district number 4 and 3. We have the Brightline train potentially coming to our community, being one of not destination, but a permanent location here in the city of COCO. Also, we have frameworks that would complement Brightline too as well. The overall growth and development in the downtown historical COCO Village, we have a face changing potentially here that will complement the aesthetically pleasing, nostalgic look, but also give you your own independent look and still be a part of the overall scheme of things of success in the downtown area. I also eventually love to see the city of COCO go from the St. John's River to the Indian River, so we can go from fresh water to brackish water. And that 520 corridor area will be all a part of the city of COCO. So there's no limitations. We're not just surviving, but we're thriving. And I attribute that to the leadership of Stockton Whitten and the aggressiveness and alertness of our council too as well. I know there's big ships and little ships, but nothing like friendship, partnership, and leadership. And that's the beautiful thing about, especially with Brightline coming in, if you go east, you have Merritt Island, you have Kennedy Space Center, you have the Port Canaveral area where some of the largest cruise liners will be stationed there. So this will be an attribute to the city of COCO. We have the space industry businesses here in the city of COCO having a foundation here. And I look forward to that. Via, who's currently at the old Trafford building, they're on the cutting edge of shipping or launching spaceships in outer space in the lower stratosphere. And I think that's imperative that we have that, because through development and construction of the downtown area, we can have that group of young and energetic engineers, electrical design, vocational, industrial engineers here in the downtown area. We would like for you to pray, stay, and educate yourself in the city of COCO. That's the uniqueness about the city of COCO. In the city of COCO, you can go within a quarter of a mile to get your primary education, your secondary education, your undergraduate education, and your graduate education right here in the city of COCO. So we offer unbelievable amount of skills, talents, and educational prosperity here in the city of COCO. What better place to live? They talk about the golden child, but the city of COCO is the platinum child. So come one, come all to the great city of COCO. Hot chocolate.
This oral history about the African American community in COCO, Florida, with Mayor Michael C. Blake, was conducted by Tracy Moore and recorded by John White for the Florida Historical Society on Monday, June 27th, 2022.